Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Zaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I am so excited. We got people calling in right now. Some people have called in early. We want to get started, but before we do, you know I got to play the song that's fitting for what we're going to talk about right now. And here we go. Here we go. I'm waiting on my co-host to come on the line. I just wanted to give a little bit of instructions on what we're doing. We sent a bolo out to everybody that's interested in this particular topic, and what we're going to be talking about is the supernaturalness of the word. We're getting into the supernatural things now. We have dealt with nation building, and we have dealt with a whole lot of other issues, but we're dealing with the supernatural issues now. We're going to be dealing with different topics. Yeah, last week it was Yah and his material body and him being a material being. And now we're getting ready to move into another area. And I see one of my co-hosts already on the line. As soon as he pushes one, I'll get him on. And I just want to let everybody know that's calling in, because some people have called in early. I got online and some people were already on waiting, that this is a show to give insight from the Hebrew Israelite standpoint as to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. Into the supernaturalness of him, who he is, his substance, his essence. All of the things that Christianity does not discuss, we discuss here so that you'll understand exactly who you serve and how powerful he is. So I'm waiting on Brother Adonai, and I think I see Brother Yerman Yahu on. As soon as he pushes one, I'll get him on, and we'll get started. We're waiting on Brother Adonai to come on the line as well. Last week was so powerful. I had so many people call me stating that they enjoyed the show. They was like, it just was off the chain. I enjoyed it. We have invitations going out all over the country, everybody all over the country. We've invited Noel Jones to come on the show. We've invited Iona Locke. We've invited Marvin Winings and Marvin Sapp and all the great pastors. We've invited them to be a part of the show, and if they can't make it because this is the day that they choose to worship, we sent them a copy of the show so that they can actually listen to the Hebrew Israelites give a clear understanding as to who we are and what we're doing. So this week we still on Yah. We dealt with him having a body. We're going to go back over some scriptures and give you some scriptures for this week and make some things happen this week. We're also going to deal with this week of the meeting place of where Yah meets, exactly where he meets when he comes to earth, who he brings with him when he comes to earth, because he has a counsel that he has with him when he comes. So we're going to put all these scriptures together. We land it out on the table. We're not trying to convince anybody. We just ask you to just, this is a different perspective, another point of view, and we want you to really take it in, research the word, read it, take it for what it says, and we'll go from there. We have a couple people already on the chat line, and we only can hold 25 people on the actual phone line. So once this gets full, then we'll have to go to the chat line and open up a chat line or something, do it like that. So I'm still waiting on Brother Adonai to come on board. Brother Jeremy Yahu hasn't pushed one yet, and we're waiting on him to push one so we can get him on the line. and everybody's ready to go and everybody's ready to roll out. Let me push you one and get him on the line. Shalom, shalom, my brother. How are you this morning, this afternoon?
Shalom, shalom, my coach. How are you?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Excited, excited, excited. Oh, my goodness, excited.
These other days, definitely be excited.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You know, we have a lot of young people that are getting involved in this show in the, from the ages of 21 to 4 to 35.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. You know, when you start talking about the Star Trek of the word, you know, when you start really getting into the Star Trek aspect of the word, that's some powerful stuff. A lot of people, that's with it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear you repeat that. My phone was doing
A lot of people don't want to mess with the Star Trek aspect of the word.
Well, that's a very, very controversial subject, sister, because of the fact that we've been bombarded, you know, with viewing that from a perspective of science fiction and television and movies and so supposedly imaginary things. So quite naturally, it would be planted in the minds of our people that, hey, somebody's been watching Star Trek or Twilight Zone and science fiction movies too much. So quite naturally, it would be very, very controversial to know that it's been here before our face, you know, all along, but it's just been put before us and portrayed before us as being science fiction or fictional. But it is true.
Mm-hmm. That is very, very true. And, you know, that means, you know, you're right about that. I mean, because then that's how they trick us. You know how they do it? They get us, what do they call it? They get us numb to the fact where it's like something they came up with first, and they give it to us in the form of entertainment. So then when truth is presented, they'll be like, oh, you've been watching way too much TV. You want some other stuff. And when the reality is, the truth of it is right there in your face, and you just refuse to believe it.
That is very true. Then again, on the other side, you know, it's up to the Creator to open up our eyes of understanding to these things, because we're living in the dispensation of time now that was prophesied by a very powerful brother, prophet amongst our people, Daniel. He foretold these days. He said in these days we're living in now. You know, notice, first of all, he was told to put seals on these books. But see, now we are in the dispensation of time where he prophesied and said that in this day and time we're living in now, at this very hour, minute, period, that knowledge would be increased. So this is what's happening. Knowledge is increased now. We are learning, and the Most High is opening up our overstanding now to things that have been hidden for ages. So it's by his will that we know these things. And it is up to him to open up the hearts and the minds and the souls and eyes of those whom he chooses to do so with. So hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Brother Adonijah, are you there? I got your line open.
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonijah.
Shalom, shalom.
Okay. I'm here today. And I'm happy to be along with y'all. I have some exciting things for me this week. The Spirit of the Almighty came to me.
Praise
you. All right.
And he revealed some things to me that maybe we might want to take a hard look at.
All right.
What he did was, it had to be the Spirit of the Almighty, because I don't believe it was the Creator at that particular time. I believe that the Almighty had sent the Spirit, you understand, because I was sitting in my bedroom. I went into my bedroom and I closed the door like I do most evenings. So I went and sat down, and out of the corner of my eye at the door, you understand, I seen a silhouette of a person. But I did not pay it any attention. You know how you do. You see some things and then you turn back and it's gone. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So it wasn't there when I looked again, so I didn't pay it no attention. But I was sitting in my room and I went and turned the TV on, and the voice would not even let me listen to the TV. I couldn't hear what was going on with the TV because the Spirit was talking to me. You understand? He said, take it to the he said take take it to the to the Creator. You understand? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, take it to the Creator. What is he talking about? You know, what's going on here? You understand? Is anybody in here? You understand? Because I really thought somebody else was in here. So he kept on talking. He said, "Man, you know, if the references that we make towards that we trying to make a point and we go to these different references, you understand, we're not gonna get no clarity." He said, "We need to take it to the source." You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I said, "Take it to the source. What do you mean?" You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I didn't say anything. You understand? I'm thinking, you know, and see, it had to be the spirit, because my thing was, man, we sit down at a table and we iron these things out. But he's saying, take it to the source. You understand? So we kept on. He said, "We're not going to get no clarity. We'll walk away just as mad as when we sat down at the table." You understand? So... So after all week now, he's telling me the same thing now. You understand? I didn't see anybody in here. I didn't see no semblance or no silhouette after that time. But I heard him talking to me all week. You understand? And so Friday he said, "You understand? We need to take it to the Holy One of Israel." You understand what I'm saying? He will clarify all that we have to say. You understand? All our little differences and everything that we want to know, he will make it known to us. He will reveal it to us. You understand? Then he told me, he said, not the first atonement, but the second atonement, the Day of Atonement. You understand? He said, because he want to get as many people as possible to be able to hear this, take many people as possible from the four corners of the earth, you understand, so that you will know that it came from the Almighty. You understand? It won't be that I heard the Almighty, just like I'm telling you right now. See, people will be skeptical. "Oh, that nigga crazy." You understand? Blah, 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 blah. You understand? Everybody will hear, you understand, that what the Almighty had to say, and he will make it plain and clarify everything that we need to know. And at that particular time, you understand, is when we'll make that covenant with the Almighty. You understand?
So
the covenant is not going to change. We the one that got to make the commitment to the covenant that we're going to do. You understand? We're going to do what the Almighty says. See, what happened at the mountain, this is coming from me right now. You understand? What happened at the mount, we tried to manipulate the Creator. You understand? We sat up there and the Almighty was speaking through the cloud, and he said, "Oh, no, don't you speak, lest we die." They didn't have no evidence of that effect. You understand? They said, "Speak to Moses." You understand? "Let him tell us." You understand? Now what we was doing is we was making it plain to everybody that we were not going to do anything. We wanted to receive things, but we were not going to commit to doing anything. We were going to put somebody in their place. You understand? And so throughout all of our times, you understand, we've been putting people in place. You understand? Kings and governors and everything like that. We've been putting them in place so that we don't have to be responsible for anything. Hallelujah.
All right, then. Well, you know what? I'm so happy for you. I'm glad that you had that experience. We have the right people on the line, because in order for you to believe in supernatural things, you have to experience supernatural things. And everybody don't believe it. One, they don't believe the Most High speaks. They don't believe the Holy Spirit speaks to you, or the Ruach, or Wah, or whatever you want to call it. They don't believe it speaks. They will not believe. I heard somebody tell me that an old rabbi said that they have a problem when somebody say Yah is speaking, you know, and it's like, whoa. So, I mean, you know, it's a whole lot of stuff out there that we have to address, and we got enough topics of classes to address on this show forever till the Most High come and get us. So I think that's a beautiful thing. Brother Yerman Yahoo, I wanted to ask you a question, because I listened to the show last week, and last week the show was so powerful. You know, we did a lot of different topics. And what I want to do, and we won't do it this week, I want to address the female aspect of Yah, but I don't want to do it this week because I have some special guests that are going to be calling in, and we're going to actually pull a word apart and be able to deal with that word. But I wanted to talk to you about the topic of the gathering place, because when I was studying this week, I came to realize that you had made a comment about mountains and that the Most High meets on many mountains, that there's not just one particular mountain that he meets on, but there are many mountains that he actually lands on and he actually, his assembly is. And, you know, when you're drawn to the supernatural, you know, you understand certain things about dimensional travel.
Yes.
And when you understand that when he, now you're talking about the eternal creator that has no boundaries of time, bringing his dimension, and time and eternity are meeting at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying? The eternity is coming, and time and eternity are meeting, and they connect at that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that he uses the high places to actually bring those two dimensions together? Because they said when Moses came down, when Moshe came down from the mountain with the tablets, he had actually crossed dimensions. His face was shining.
That's right. Well, look at whose presence he was in. There is no way in the world a man or a woman or a person, per se, can be in the presence of the Creator and some of that power that they're around not fall off on them. Because you notice several times when you read throughout the scriptures, even when angels, Malachim, had encounter with people, they made a big ado on how the man, you know, the brightness of his countenance was so bright, eyes shone. And some of them had blinding lights. You see, and you're right, the Most High is not limited to anywhere that he can come and anywhere that he can dwell because of the fact that he is the Creator. He created everything and everybody for his own purpose and for his own glory. So you're exactly right. See, you said a key word. When you get into the multidimensional or into that what we have come to know as that spiritual realm, that is a very, very powerful place to be. And Brother Adonia, I can definitely relate to the experience that you've had. I've had those encounters throughout my whole life. And anyone to say that the Most High does not speak to people in this dispensation of time, I like to ask them the question, when did he stop doing it? Because does not the book of Yoel even say that if the days will come when I will pour my spirit out upon all flesh, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, the old men would do what? Would dream dreams, and the young men would see visions. So when did he stop dealing with his creation? That never stopped.
So you know what's so real?
Realm, you are in an awesome, awesome place. And my brother, I would like to encourage you. Every voice that you hear coming from that dimension, listen to it very carefully.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
You know what's so real ironic is because y'all hitting on some stuff that I wanted to really bring forward. You understand? See, the Almighty, not very often, only once or twice did we ever know that the Almighty came down in the cloud, and that was at the Temple Mount. You know, I mean, that's when he covered the temple, and that I can't remember no other time did he come down. Anytime anything else, he sent a spirit. You understand? Any other time that he always sent a spirit. When they went to visit Abraham, three of his top people that came to visit him. It wasn't the Almighty personally. You understand? And when he spoke from the mountain, he spoke from the mountain. He didn't speak, you understand? He didn't come down, you understand, and mingle amongst the peoples like he sent those spirits. So we all know that the Almighty. See, one other thing here too is that what's really significant is that he said, "Let us make man in our image." That is significant. We are the people of the Creator. So he has a lot of things that he put in. He put in us discernment, where we can discern whether it's nonsense or it's Ola. Crapola, I mean. So we got to really take a hard look at what the Almighty has done. You understand? And he said, and he fashioned us from the earth. You understand? And where did he fashion us from? In Europe? Or did he fashion us from the continent of Africa, so to speak? You understand? For lack of a better word. You understand? So they couldn't make Europeans in Africa, they didn't turn up white in Africa. They turned up white in that European land, and he fashioned us, from his image. His image was a black person. He was not white. He wasn't no yellow guy. He might have been multicolored, but he was definitely not white. So these things are significant. We need to pay a lot of attention to those things. I relinquish the mic.
All right. Well, you know what, Brother Yirmiyahu, I think that he and I kind of differ with you on that, because I believe that when Abraham had his meeting, I believe that was the Most High. And let me tell you why.
Yes.
Because when I researched, and I wasn't going to go there, but I'm going to go there anyway. When I research, you know, I don't think people understand the structure of the kingdom. And the part that irritates me the most with Christianity and with the beliefs of some of the Israelite camps, because I listen to a lot of people on YouTube and I hear them say a lot of things about the kingdom, and it really irritates me when Christianity start preaching the kingdom, because they so far to the left, it's pitiful. I mean, they just gone. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They have created this illusion in their mind that they're gone. But the one thing that I realized out of the Word and studying the Word, that the kingdom is a real place.
Yes.
It is extremely structured. And he has a council that he has that travels with him when he comes. Now, and what scared me was when I really, because I'm doing a study on the tabernacle right now in the actual tent tabernacle, because when I really understand, when Moshe went up on that mountain and he came down with those tablets, not only did he come down with those tablets, but he came down with the blueprints from the tabernacle. And the Most High told him, and I want you to help me out with this, because I really didn't want to go here. I wanted to kind of stay, but this is kind of feeding into the same thing. The Most High told him, make this exactly like the temple that's in the kingdom.
He gave him the pattern.
He gave him the blueprint.
According to the tabernacle pattern, in other words, the blueprint. This is how I want the thing built. Go ahead.
You know we finna cut up, don't you? I'm trying to hold myself back. So if it was a tabernacle here, and it's a tabernacle there, then they're doing the same thing there that they're doing here.
That's exactly right. Because see, what it is actual a blueprint of the realm and that the Creator and the Elohim, which is comprised of the Malachim, live within themselves. He wouldn't give them a pattern to something that was not already in existence. See, the Most High requires perfection. And Brother Donia, there are many times when he did come down. We can go all over Deuteronomy, all over Exodus, and even in Genesis, where he did make personal visitations more than twice. Because a lot of times it will tell you that he came down in a cloud, and the cloud overshadowed the tabernacle. The Levites went in and met with him personally. That's why everything had to be clean, had to be perfect. And we can even go over in Numbers chapter 12, where he came down personally and visited Aaron and Miriam for speaking against Moses. Say he came down and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called them to him. Now, how could you do that if you're not a physical being that actually has a physical presence? How could he stand in the door of the tabernacle and then call them to him and fuss them out? So there's evidence to prove that he has made multiple visits here and get ready to make some sure enough serious ones in this day and time. Isaiah 66:15, he come with fire and with his chariots. to render vengeance this time. Vengeance.
Yeah.
That's a personal vengeance.
And you know what, Brother Yeremiahu? That means there's going to be an invasion. I mean, when you really bring it down to layman's terms, you know, it means it's going to be an invasion. And unfortunately, you don't want to, that's why I say, when you start swaying on the supernatural side of the word, people begin to back up. And I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a poison that Hasatan has sent through not only the Christian community and the Muslim community, but the Hebrew community, because a lot of people read it and they try to read it from a practical standpoint. There's nothing about the book. You cannot read it from a practical standpoint, and when you do, you cheat yourself. And what happens is everybody wants for it to make sense. And one thing about it, he said, my ways are far as my ways are not your ways. As far as the east is from the west is my ways from your ways. So there's nothing in it that makes sense. You know,
That's correct.
My side of the book, he said he took the foolish thing to confound the wise. So there's nothing in the book that makes sense. And if you try to make sense of it all and try to get it to fit your own perception, then that means deception. And that's what Hasatan is used all of this time, because people go after information sometime to make it make sense. And the thing about it is when you understand that not only does he travel with in vehicles, and not only does he come down to interact with his people, he also has a council that comes down with him. Psalms 82:1 says, and I'm going to read it to you guys for you all that's out there that's listening. It says, God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. So people need to understand that it's more than just him. He has given people titles. We were gods at one time.
That's right.
You realize what happened to us, the fact that we did fall, you're going to have to talk, you know, and I hate to bring this kind of stuff out on the radio because some people just ain't ready for this kind of stuff. But from my research, Israel didn't start here anyway. And what makes me so angry is I listen to these scholars, these Hebrew scholars, teach and say stuff like, well, you know, we ain't no different than the other nations for real. And our job really lead the other nations to Yah. It's really nothing special about us that makes us better than anybody. Hogwash.
Well, I'd like to invite them to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, where Yah says that you are a special people unto the Yah, that we are special creations. He said he made us above, not equal to, above all nations that are on the face of the earth. So if you are above them, how in the world can you be equal to them? You can't fight for equal rights. You're not equal.
It ain't going to never be equal. And I think they say that and do that so that people don't feel left out. But guess what? It is what it is. And I don't believe that Israel started here, because it couldn't have started here, because if it had started, there would be no reason for the temple to duplicate itself if it started here.
Praise Yah, sister. Yeah, you and I are going to have to definitely talk offline, because it's some serious stuff going back down in the beginning, at the very beginning of the book, that a lot of brothers and sisters, and we just don't have the understanding.
Well,
and it's not going to be imparted until the Creator does. The wisdom comes from him. Praise Yah. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir.
Not to interrupt, but I'm not sure that I can agree with the spiritual realm as much as, to weigh in and say yay or nay. You understand? But I kind of agree with the spirit that came to me. You understand? Is that that the Almighty will straighten all of our differences and all our inconsistencies and our spirit, and he will let us know. You understand? During that Day of Atonement, when we all meet, so that we all will be on the same page. This is where the Almighty is trying to get us to get all on the same page. Now, we're going to have difference of opinions and everything, but if we bring those differences of opinion to the Almighty, I bet my life on it that when we step away, we will all be on the same page. Hallelujah. I relinquish the mic.
All right.
say that he will make the crooked way straight. So I can agree with that, because that's his word.
He'll make it straight. I agree with you, too.
No, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it, you understand? See, you understand, we all over the page, man. You understand? Now, and I'm not saying that you're wrong or you're right, because I don't know. You understand? I know that we in order for us to get it correct, because I know that all of those little books and stuff that we put come out, none of them was written by us. It may allude to us. I'll give you a thing in a minute. But it may allude to us because we have discernment. We're supposed to be able to discern what is for us and what is not for us. You understand? And but none of them books, you understand, that we read, that we attest to, that being I'm gonna give you a prime example. We got the Tanakh. We got the five books of Moses. You understand? The Torah. And we at odds with that. We can't even get that right. So all the other books that we talk about that's going to make reference ain't going to do nothing but make us more madder and more confused than we ever were. Hallelujah.
Now what other books are you referring to? Because see,
any other book that you come to, man, that we read.
Hold on. A lot of us, let me talk now, bro. We're giving you the mic, okay? A lot of us do not necessarily get this information from books. It's just like what you said originally, through discernment and through communication with the Most High. Now, notice now, a lot of times when you're talking about dealing with spirits and hearing things, now notice, you go over there to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Well, y'all in the council were deciding on what they're going to do about this prophet that had the spirit of lying in their mouth and not telling people the truth. He left it up to the council to decide, what are we going to do about this? And they broke off in the groups. One angel stood behind him, before him, and said, I will go down and be a lie in the mouth of the prophet. Mm-hmm. So then, just because the spirit come to you now, you got to understand what that mission is, see? What the mission of that spirit is. Because you see that these angels can decide to bring you whoever they want to, but they have to gain y'all's approval. So
That's right. So
you can't discount the fact that some of us have not been in that spiritual realm. Now, I have not read no collaboration of books and all like this. All of my experiences have been spiritual. Even when it comes to them chariots, brother, I have been there. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I don't have to prove nothing to nobody. The problem is, you got people who don't want to open their eyes. And the ones, see, here's the problem with the nation of Israel. The true ones that Yah sent to us, we reject them. Show me one prophet in the Bible that was not rejected because they had the message of Yahweh. But look what they chose. They chose the prophets that told lies. You know, they say unto the seer, see not. They say unto the prophet, prophesy unto us lies, prophesy deceit. So that's the type of people we are. When a real man come to us, we don't want to hear him. Hallelujah.
Hey, let me ask a question here.
And my response to that, let me say something real quick. And my response to that is that we have to stay on topic. Our topic is about the supernaturalness of the Most High. And one thing we have to be very careful with, and I'm going to say this to you guys, because you guys are elders and we know, there are people on this line that are not Hebrews. So we cannot ever, ever, ever portray an ununified front. And yes, we know the scriptures have been tampered with, but for right now, that's all we have. And my thing is this, that book has stood the test of time in terms of prophetic revelation. There are many books out there that we can refer to, that we can read. YouTube is full of information. And I'm going to tell you something. I had a young man that used to come to the class that we had on the Shabbat. And he was really anxious about being a Hebrew Israelite. And he started going on YouTube, and he started eating all this stuff. And he started searching and eating all this information to the point where he got so confused that he just decided he wasn't going to be nothing. There are people that have been on this show on a regular basis. The same thing has happened. They have let people talk them and so much stuff going into their ear gates that now they don't believe the word. They don't believe none of it. All they believe is that the Most High is speaking to them, and they move according to that. And eventually it's going to evolve into something that's outside of the will of the Most High. So we got to be careful, especially on this radio show. We can have these kind of conversations off the show, but as we're on this show, we're trying to teach those people by the word, because that's all they have and that's all we have, the knowledge that we're given about the Most High in the word. So, you know, we got to be really careful, you know, with experience, because you're in the presence of real prophets and they don't know it. Israel doesn't even believe that prophecy exists, and that's the part that scares me the most, because what's going to happen when Christianity wake up and all these prophets come on the scene? Because it's millions and millions of them. And they still going to use the same gift that they have that we was born with, that we still use, and that's a whole nother topic. So we got to try to stay focused on the message that we're giving right now, because we can go into a bunny trail and try to figure out what information is real and what ain't real. And at the end of the day, it's going to end up being, when we get to that wilderness, that's when it's all going to be hashed out. You know, that because you know what I found out about the Most High? Is that he is all-powerful. He can do anything he want to do. But do you know what he enjoys doing the most? Is interacting with his creation. He enjoys interacting with us and protecting Israel. You know how I know that? Is because when you can go to 2 Kings and you realize in 2 Kings that Syria was coming after Israel, and the Most High would take and listen in now. Now, think about this. He could have stopped the whole show. He could have stopped it. Israel could have went on where they needed to go without no problem. But one thing we had to do is we had to fight for what we wanted. We had to follow instructions. We had to be obedient, and we had to fight. So every time the Syrian army would make strategy against Israel, the Most High would whisper the strategy in the ear of Elisha. And Elisha would go to the captains of Israel and whisper it into their ear. So in other words, don't go to the north side tomorrow night at 4 o'clock in the morning, because they're going to ambush you. And the Syrian army didn't know that was going to happen. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, they was on the north side ready to pounce down on them, and got there and said, aha, and wasn't nobody there. He did that many times. And then they found somebody in the camp was committing treason. But they didn't know it was the Most High whispering into the ears of the prophet. And when they finally realized that it was Elisha, they came after him with all they had. And guess what? Them same chariots that Christianity don't teach, that you don't hear about in Sunday school, they don't preach about it over the pulpit, them same chariots was embedded. Now think about that. We can say that, but when you really start breaking that down, the Most High sent supernatural vehicles from another dimension and embedded those vehicles in the side of a mountain to the point where it was invisible to the natural eye. And the only way that you could see it, Elisha had to ask for the Most High to remove the veil from his counterpart's eye so he could see it. The Syrian army didn't even know they was there. So the fusing between the natural and the supernatural, or the two dimensions, intersect at a certain point at Yah's command. That's powerful by itself. I don't need to read no more books. I don't need him to do nothing, because as far as I'm concerned, that word, man, listen, I'm getting excited. Let me calm down. Woo! Let me calm down. They don't understand, Brother Yerman Yahu. They just don't understand.
Well, see, that comes with the territory. It takes a lot of patience, because, you know, and like you say, notice how patient the prophet was. He just calmed and said, y'all open his eyes.
Open his eyes, yeah. Let him see. No, open his
That's
eyes.
What I'm saying.
He didn't know what
y'all
he was.
Open their eyes.
That's why there's no fear. You can't have no fear, because if you know he's got vehicles up in that sky that's 3 and 4 football fields long, you said it was 20,000 of them? Man, what do we have to fear? All we got to do is just move out. Just move out.
Whew. Praise Yah.
I mean, it's just some powerful stuff. You know, but anyway, getting back to the mountain stuff, let me tell you what I learned about the mountain. Now, in the divine council, because he has a council that comes down with him when he moves and when he does what he does, and at some point, the mountain intersects. And from that point, That's when Earth intersects with the eternal, and then that's when the Most High gives decrees. He does all kind of stuff. He gives power. All kind of stuff is happening in that mountain. Because remember, when Jacob saw the ladder, what did he see? He said, "I saw angels ascending
and descending."
And descending.
And he even named the place. Everywhere he had these encounters, notice he named it. He gave it a certain name. Even where he had the encounter where he was wrestling with this man until daybreak, he named the place. See? I mean, you had mountains like Mount Moriah, Mount Nebo, not to mention Mount Zion, which is really the mountain or the government of Israel itself, the chief governing tribe of all the 12 tribes, Yehuda. See? You had all these different mountains, Mount Pisgah, Mount Paran. Our fathers did sacrifices on this mountain. They did them for a reason. They were instructed to go to a certain mountain and do a certain thing. It's all through the book. And there's a lot of validity, a lot of truth found in these scriptures, you know. And like we said originally from the start, we have to seek the Creator for wisdom on these things. Because otherwise, we will do what Proverbs 3:5 says not to do. We'll lean to our own understanding. That's what gets the sons of men in trouble every time, trying to lean to our own understanding. All of us are guilty of this. All of us.
That's right. Praise. And we shouted over pastors, over the pulpit, giving their own interpretation of what they think this supernatural thing is. But think about it. If the temple is to be there for the giving of sin, then why is it necessary for there to be one in the kingdom?
Wow.
If the office of the priest's job is to be able to man the temple and to be able to do the service of the Most High, why is it necessary for one to be in the kingdom?
There it is.
Something
and
has
what
to happen.
What do the sons of law we do? They minister unto y'all. What does the word minister mean? It means to serve. They're the ministers. Like I hear some people who say they're from the tribe of Yehuda, but yet they try to call themselves a Levite. The rule of thumb is this: to be a Lawanite, you have to be born into that tribe. You know, just because you stand before people and teach the word, that don't make you a Levite. Another big error we make. See, if you're not born of the tribe, born of the tribe of Lawi, then you're not a Levite. I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's the way the rule goes. The Most High set that rule. I hear brothers all the time, I'm a Levite. I'm a Levite. Really? Are you from that tribe, brother? I don't have to be. I'm standing before people teaching them the word and ministering the word. I said, so that's what a Levite is, huh? I just leave it right there, because one thing Yirmiyahu is not going to ever do is argue with anybody. I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to debate. If we can't sit down and reason together, then there's no need of us talking. Praise the Most High.
And you know what? Even with the Levi tribe, they kept a registry.
Yes.
That's how serious it was. They kept a registry to make sure that you were of the tribe. And if you came before the high priest and it was anything unsure, that's when they used that Urim and that Thummim.
There you go.
Come on now. Well, you know how it operated. One globe for yes, and it did, something happens for no. We're talking about supernatural things that are happening in a natural environment, and people are going to be afraid because nobody's prepared them for the supernatural. Everybody thinks they're ready. Everybody thinks they know him. And when it comes to them, I'm like you, when it comes to them spaceships, been there, done that. I'm telling you, I can't even begin to the fright and the fear that came over me from what I saw. I wasn't no more good after that, and we'll get into that some other time. But those things are real, and he's coming into, they're getting ready to break into our atmosphere. And
you know
they're getting ready to be visible. They already
anomalies. You got so-called anomalies, as the heathen call it, taking place all over the planet right now.
Yes,
it's not a week that go by that people are not seeing phenomena and all type of stuff in the sky, but you will have those who try to convince them that they are crazy, that they're imagining things. We know what our eyes see. I've seen these things ever since I was a child. I've known about them for a long time. So I couldn't talk to anybody about them.
Yes,
They simply didn't know. And I wasn't going to fuss and fight and argue with anybody. I didn't try to drive, but I know, I'm just like you, I know what I saw. And I know what I see now. So praise Yah.
Yes,
this
yes.
is an optical illusion,
governor,
and praise the Creator. Go ahead, sister.
A governor saw a spaceship. He saw a spaceship. I'm trying to find it. And he told him, they told me to lie. He said, but I ain't getting ready to lie no more. I know what I saw. And the lady was like, I came out my front door, and I was on my way somewhere. She said, and this machine materialized. She said, just out of nowhere, I was looking up at the sky, and it materialized. She said it was 3 or 4 blocks long. She said, and as quick as I visualized it, it just said, shoop, and it was gone. She said, from that moment on, my reality changed.
Everybody's eyes can't see these, Sister Yaina. Everybody's eyes are not fixed to see these things. So it may sound very, very strange and very, very ridiculous. But one of these days, it's going to be so plain and so vivid and so clear, and there won't be any doubt. See, like you say, our mission is to prepare as many as will hear as to what's coming, so that they won't refer to the TV and think some little green monster with big eyes and protruding head and look like mosquitoes and insects and reptiles are piloting these ships. No. These are the black men known as angels, the Malachim, the Creator's people that are with him. These are supernatural beings. They are powerful that fly these ships. And they look just like us, and we look just like them. That's going to come out. Watch and see. Just keep living
now,
like
check
the old folks.
If this is the same one, wait a minute, hold on, let me see if I can get down here with a man.
Now, a decade after leaving the state house, he takes me to a Phoenix park and discloses something unlike anything uttered by any other high-level U.S. politician.
If he had been here 10 years ago and standing out here and looking up there at the lights and the view, you would have been astounded. You would have been amazed.
Governor Symington is referring to what is now known as the Phoenix Lights, an object videotaped by many and seen by thousands over several nights in the Arizona sky in 1997.
Major sighting here.
It was described by witnesses as larger than a football field and silent.
It was a giant V, all right? And the right side of the V went over us. The left side was like a couple blocks over it.
I just didn't know what to do. You know, it was just like, my God, how big is this thing?
The great state of Arizona, Fife Symington.
The former governor, a Vietnam Air Force veteran, had never publicly acknowledged seeing it until now.
And I suspect that unless the Defense Department proves us otherwise, that it was probably some form of an alien spacecraft.
So why didn't he say anything then? Partly, he says, because he didn't want people to panic.
I think as a public figure, you have to be very careful about what you say, because people can have pretty emotional reactions, and I said my goal wasn't to try to stir the pot.
And he went to humorous and controversial lengths not to stir the pot. He held a news conference after the Phoenix Lights to announce the mystery of it solved.
And now I'll ask Officer Stein and his colleagues to escort the accused into the room so that we may all look upon the guilty party. Don't get him too close to me, please.
In the alien costume, the governor's chief of staff.
Now, this just goes to show that you guys are entirely too serious.
UFO enthusiasts were not amused, especially since the governor was believed to have seen nothing. But now he's coming out.
The lights were really brilliant, and it was just fascinating. I mean, it was enormous. It just felt otherworldly. You know, in your gut, you could just tell it was otherworldly.
Symington will be talking about this in an updated film about UFOs called Out of the Blue. He has also talked with an organization that wants UFO information more out in the open.
It's very significant that someone of the stature of a governor would come out and say that they acknowledge that they experienced a UFO, because it brings a lot of credibility and strength to the case.
Governor Symington says he did tell his family, friends, and staff about what he saw early on.
I still, behind the scenes, tried to investigate it, but I got nowhere.
So what were the Phoenix Lights? Well, frankly, we don't know. What we do know is that it's as much of a mystery today as it was a decade ago.
This was 10 years ago. 10 years ago. Again, let me make an announcement. If you have, if you want to push one, you have a comment, you want a question, whatever, please feel free to push one. You know, we got to get people to understand, and it's so sad because, you know what, they really don't know who they serve, and they really don't understand the power that they have and the things that they're able to do. You know, but we got to get people to understand that a theophany is not anything out of the blue. And what a theophany is what Christianity dreams, a visitation of when he decides to visit, however he decides to come. And these are the things that we have to prepare for because Israel ain't ready for that either. They just are not ready for that. And it's like, wow, you know, how do you guys come up with all of this information? But a lot of Israel do believe in the chariot, though. I can say that. They do believe in the chariot.
Yes.
You know, even the United States of America have an ambassador to welcome the aliens.
Well, how many people do you think know about that? How many people do you think know about that? How many people do you think believe that? They think that this is fictional, this is something you're making up. Because the sister's out in left field now talking about all this.
Well, you know, like I said, ready or not, I'm going to tell you something. I had a dream, and since we're talking about experiences, I had a dream about 7 or 8 months ago. And in the dream, I was at a party, and this party was being held in a hotel. And the way that the party was, the doors opened up, and you could go out on the balcony. And this building was way up in the, I mean, way, it was a real tall building, because in the dream, I was saying, wow, this almost looks like you could touch the sky. And I remember standing out on the balcony. I was alone in the dream. Everybody, my family and friends, everybody was in there. I don't know whether it was a wedding reception or what, but they was in there eating and laughing and talking. And I went out on the balcony and I stood. Now, this was a dream. And I stood and I was looking into the sky, and a cloud was out there, and the cloud moved, and I saw something behind the cloud. And I was like, what is that? And I started focusing, and the whole cloud moved out of the way. And from that moment on, what I saw terrified me in the dream. I mean, it was huge. And it was at that moment I knew that the story that we knew about life was the wrong story, because it was somebody up there was in control other than us. And I remember going back into the room of the where the party was, and I went over to my family, and I was like, there's something. Y'all need to go see what's going on. And everybody was like, what is wrong with you? I said, go see what's going on out there. And my brother-in-law and a couple of my other brother-in-laws went out there on the balcony with me, and we were standing out on the balcony, and all of these things started flying in the air. And I was like, what is those things flying? And as we looked closer, it was people. And I was saying to myself, now, that really don't look good right there. You know, all these people, animals, everybody was just flying. And then when I went, it was the military people in the dream, and I said, something is going on out there you need to go see. And they went out to the balcony, and they saw, and by the time they got there, the machine was gone, the people was gone, everything. Come to find out that same night, my sister dreamed about the same thing. That same night, my granddaughter dreamed about the same thing. And when I woke up that morning, I was terrified. I mean, I have never been so terrified in my life. I mean, terrified. And it's like, you know, we're not crazy.
Awesome, sister. Awesome. But the Creator don't deal that way no more, does he? He don't show us things in dreams no more, does he?
Yes, he do. Oh, yes, he does. Not only your man, please, I could tell you some stuff to make the hair on the back of your, like you said, been happening to me since I was born. Make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And what I'm talking about is the fusing between the natural and the supernatural. It interacts with each other. It always have, and it always will.
Praise God.
Anytime a natural man can run into and wrestle with an angel in the bushes, and that angel can physically touch him and dislocate his hip. That ain't normal. The children of Israel ate manna, food rained from the sky.
Well, who do you think eat that food in the sky?
In
the
kingdom.
Not the scriptures make it clear that that's the food angels eat?
That's what it says. That's what it says. And
the Creator saying that if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for I own cattle on 1,000 hills.
So
he doesn't physically eat then, right? Okay. I'll just leave it right there. Praise y'all.
But you know
like
what?
Said,
it's going to
very
have
controversial
to take
him.
No, you know what? It's going to have to take him coming. And that's what we want to get Israel prepared for, because the wilderness ain't going to be no joke. I mean, you know, whatever you thought he was and whatever you imagined him to be, that's when it's going to take place in the wilderness. You're going to really get a chance to see him face to face.
Face to face? Well, how can you see a spirit face to face?
Well, you can't, but I'm just saying, you know, those are the times when you really going to get a chance to see him face to face. And all of those isms and schisms, because the angels have always come here. They've always interacted with us. We always have had interactions with angels. They've always been there to assist. And anytime he sends an army for two people, cross dimension, interdimensional travel. But we still got to get back to that temple, because what is the purpose? Look. The temple, the purpose for the temple was for what? For down here. What was the purpose for the temple down here? For the atonement of sin, right?
That was one of the purposes. That's correct.
You know what I'm saying? For the shedding of blood, for the atonement. So what would be the purpose for that being up there?
The administration the administration of his affairs, see, in heaven as it is on earth. In heaven as it is on earth, because that is coming here. Now,
yes,
in your spare time, go back and reread Ezekiel chapter 40 all the way up to 48. That's a glimpse of what the future kingdom is going to be like. That's going to blow your socks off. Then the Creator is talking about having a physical presence here amongst his people forever. Do dwell amongst. What does it mean to dwell? Dwell amongst the church of Israel. He's going to be here living with us on the planet. But I'm not going to say
and
that.
And then
I'm
what kills
like
me, and this is just for those that are out there listening from Christianity is talking, they sell in heaven. They're getting everybody prepared to go to heaven. Well, if that temple is up there, then guess what's up there? That law is up there, too. And if they don't think they're supposed to keep the law here, how the heck you going to go somewhere across dimensions and don't know nothing about it? I mean, all of that just doesn't make any sense. And we got to get people to understand that what he does down here is doing up there, and it all got to be in unison. All of it. And while they're trying to go there, the Most High coming here.
He's going to bring it all here. Now, you said the key word.
All coming
here. It's coming here. And it will last for how long, sister?
Forever.
How long is that? See?
Forever.
Can't even fathom how long forever is. But it's going to be forever. Praise Yah. Hallelujah.
It's going to be forever. You know, but like I said, those are the things that people need to understand, that they are coming here. But my issue is this. Do you believe that, you know how wide the universe is and you know how vast it is, and there are other species out there that fly as well. Do you believe that?
I don't have no problem with that.
Do
because
you believe
Yah
that they have been
plain and clear in his word that he says the heavens of heaven. Get this now. Heavens of heaven can't even contain him. You mean to tell me there are heavens above this heaven? There are universes beyond this universe? This place is huge, big. We can't even fathom the size of it. But even that can't contain the Most High and his entourage, if you will. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I didn't get this out
yeah.
of, and I didn't read this out of no books either. Praise Yah.
I feel you.
I don't believe everything
they said
I read
Zion,
in the book.
They said that Zion is the mountain of Yah. And they said it is the mount of the assembly where the gods dwell.
Hallelujah.
And people, guess what? People will look and be like, oh, you crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Ain't no gods dwelling in Zion. We're talking about crossing dimensions. They can be, and from, you know what? I'm a science major. So I love to be able to understand the string theory. And understanding the multiple dimensions or the other worlds, because when you talk about another dimension, it's not up there and up down there. It's just through. And you can go in your kitchen and walk through the door and be in a whole other dimension and don't even know it if the Most High choose to do that.
Look at that. Look at that. Well, we gotta do some talking, Sister Yahya. Oh yeah,
if we definitely to do that. People don't understand.
We cannot talk about that here, sister. We are gonna have to do some talking offline. Telling you that right now.
Yes, sir. I mean, you know, but when you understand, and like I said, they don't understand what they're dealing with. You know, they because mentally and from a human standpoint, our mind can't fathom the fact that you can come into direct contact with something from another dimension. But guess what? The whites have been studying this for a long time.
Hallelujah.
They know this. Some of them have been opening up portals and going through portals and ending up in different dimensions.
You're getting deep now.
No, but guess what? It's deep because when you think about it, guess what? What is the Bermuda Triangle?
It's a portal.
And what happens when certain people cross that portal?
To get lost and never found again. No
they
traces.
They are never seen again. And the people that go in looking for them get lost.
Well, if anybody don't believe that, the United States Air Force has a book called Project Blue Book. They closed and sealed those books. That's what Blue Book was all about, to investigate these multiple sightings that are all over the planet and have happened simultaneously, including the Bermuda Triangle. They had another one called Project Grudge. Go out there and look up these reports. Look up these reports and see what they have been hiding from us all this time. They know about this. They even know about the submersible ones that can travel underwater at tremendously high speeds, and the friction of the water don't have no effect on them. Praise Yah. I mean, this is a very deep subject, and it's very controversial.
Well, you know what? It's a whole lot of stuff that's controversial, and you know what? We can't keep hiding it. I mean, you know, you and I are having a conversation. Nobody's pushing one. So, I mean, you know, these are the things that we have to bring out to the forefront to let people know, you know, that Christianity lying, the Most High didn't come and step on Mount Zion, the mountain, and the mountain caught on fire. That is not what happened. That is a lie. That is a bold-faced lie from Hasatan. There was a vehicle that came down and set on that mountain and burnt the tip of that mountain.
Psalm 18 will verify that. It says that upon a cherub he did fly. You read that whole psalm, it's telling you, it's describing the Most High, his characteristics, and his mode of transportation. It says he rode upon a chariot, a cherub. Now, when you break that word down, you got to go through a lot of clusters to even get to the original Hebrew word for that word, and you're not going to find it in no reference sources. But I can tell you it's Merkiba. What that is a vehicle of conveyance. It's a flying vehicle. It say upon the wings of the wind he did fly. Now the book tells you that he flew. He flies. He don't have no wings on his back. He's not on the back of no man or no bird, man. That's Greek mythology. Those things are called nymphs. What they portray angels to us are nymphs, nature goddesses and gods, okay? Bird people. The Most High ain't got no bird people. Angels do not have wings on their back. They fly. They are natural men that fly in these vessels that the Bible identifies in many places as clouds and as chariots. Our ancestors weren't just making up stuff. They were telling
no,
the chariot drivers, come down here and get us. Swing low, sweet chariot. Chariots are coming, and I don't want them to leave me behind. Why did the slave make up songs like that? For those of us who say that we are diving into science fiction, this is wrong, we read all this in books, let's go back to what our ancestors sung. What were they singing about? Mm-hmm. Tis the ocean of Zion. You know, we didn't have no big ship over in ancient Israel that was named a ship sail on water called the ship of Zion. Where is that found in our antiquity? You're not going to find it. Tis the old ship of Zion. It's that ship that Elisha saw. My El, he said, my El, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof.
Yes.
That's that old ship of Zion. Call me science fiction all you want to. Praise y'all. Like the old folks say, you listen. You're going to see.
That's right. You're going to see it whether you see it or not. And you know what? Even when Moses and Aaron and his sons and the 70 elders went up on the mountain and feasted with him in Exodus 24, it describes the banquet and how they sat down. The observation that they saw was they said they saw a paved construction of sapphire stone like the heavens for the clearness. They was looking. They was in something, looking through something.
Praise y'all. Now, that's Tapperwood, sister. That ain't real.
That's Exodus 24.
That's Tapperwood, remember. We
no,
can't take everything.
No, that's Exodus chapter 24. They said he saw. They saw the under his feet, the heavens. So they had to be in something to see under his feet. They wasn't floating. Crucial. It's critical.
Praise God. You're not going to convince people that Ezekiel was aboard one of these ships. He talks about his voyage, about how he was whisked to a certain place. He described this gigantic vehicle as looking like a thing with a wheel in the middle of a wheel.
Yes, he did.
But he
got
on board, and he made mention of the creatures, the living creatures. The spirit of the living creatures was in the wheel. In other words, they are the ones piloting the craft. See, we got to be able to understand the way that book is put together and the way it's written. That's why it takes the wisdom of Yah to break all that stuff down. Otherwise, like you said, to the natural eye and natural mind, it will seem like sheer foolishness.
Yes, yes, yes. Ada
has to bring that enlightenment to us. Go ahead, sister.
Even Enoch talked about the flying house and how dreadful it was. And how terrible it was. And then he went from one house into another house. He was lifted up into another house, and that one was more dreadful than the first one. Shoot, man, y'all getting ready to see the real McGillicuddy is coming here.
Well, how do they think Eliyahu going to come back here? That man never saw death. He didn't die. But what was he taking up in? Didn't Yah say he's going to send them back
the
before the great and dreadful day of Yah? How you think he's going to get back here the same way he left? Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
So Malachi chapter 4, I will send you Elijah, Eliyahu the prophet, before the great and dreadful day of Yah. How you think the man going to get back here? Look at how he went up. He was taken up in a chariot alive. He didn't see death. He was taken up alive. That man is still alive right now.
Enoch didn't die.
He didn't see death.
He didn't die. And they got to come back and die because it's appointed once for every man to die. So they got to come back and die. They got to die. Man, this is crucial.
Well, you know, some people do have an eternal life appointed to them.
They have to have it to be able to even dwell up there. I mean, they can't just up there in the. They can't even be in the flesh that we're in and live up there. That's impossible.
Well, I don't know that much about that, but I just know this. I just go by what it said to say that they didn't see death. So praise Yah. It is what it is.
Hallelujah. I mean, it's just powerful. So I mean, you know, I think that the important part of it all is to just really kind of go back through the scriptures because, not only does he come, but he comes with a counsel. And even when he chose us for his inheritance in Deuteronomy 32 and 8, he said he set the boundaries for the people according to the number of, and the Bible says the sons of Israel. But in another book it says according to the number of the 70 gods that he brought with him, because there were 70 angels, and this is how you get your nation, because you got 70 gods that were placed over 70 nations, and then there became 70 languages out of those 70 nations. And that's at the Tower of Babel. Because that's why, you know, when you talk about the one world government, that's been tried before. One world,
yeah.
One language, one religion, one everything. All that's been tried before. Nimrod tried that at the Tower of Babel.
What happened?
The Most High came. He shook the whole program up. He shook the program up to the point where he separated the language.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was 70.
Did he not call on the council again and say, come, let us confuse
their language?
Yes, he
did. He sure did. And he split them up, and he put those angels over those nations, and that's where the 70 languages come in at.
Praise.
And the 70 nations, that's why when you start talking about making new nations, no, they've already been outlined in the scriptures as to how many nations there was and where those nations came from.
Praise the Most High, Yah. That Tower of Babel, I'd like to ask you a question. At that Tower of Babel, who was it that came down and looked upon the tower?
It was the Most High.
Praise Yah. I rest
my case. And what's so crooked about it is, he said, let us go down and see what they're doing, lest they achieve what they set out to achieve. So that lets us know that even though people say, well, you can't cross over. Oh, yeah, you can. They were trying to build a portal to go from one dimension to the next.
You better talk it good, sister.
And that's when he came down and confounded the languages and created the multiplicity of languages and the 70 nations. All of this is his program. You know, but you, like I said before, you have to be careful when you start going out on that internet and you start looking at that YouTube clip, because YouTube is full of stuff, and there has to be, you have to be grounded. There has to be a grounding where you say, okay, I'm not going to go no further than this, because they will spin you off into all kind of areas to the point where you don't know what you believe.
That is correct. They'll enlighten you and confuse you at the same time.
Ain't that what? Ain't that what
everything you see, hear, and read? You just can't do it.
You can't. You got to stay focused, and you got to stay. You have to be able to say, okay, I'm gonna stay within these books, and I'm gonna make sure that. Now, I'm not saying you can't read other things, because of course they have other writings out there that match the scriptures, other gods out there with the stories. They have all that stuff out there for you, so they can say, see, I told you that wasn't real.
Right. You have to have this thing that comes with the treasure of wisdom. It's called discretion, see? It's called discretion. You have to be very, very discretionary and very, very discriminating in what you read and what you study. It comes back still to the what? To you seeking the wisdom and knowledge from the Most High. Like brother said earlier, he will have to impart this wisdom into you for you to be able to tell, for you to distinguish what's lies, what's truth, what's deception, and the whole nine yards. Only the wisdom of Yah can guide us, even through this book that we read out of, because it's got a lot of symbols back there that you can get back there and get lost. All in the translation, into the figurative, into the poetic, into the to the literal, into the to the metaphorical, to the allegorical. See, if you don't know all those different styles of Shakespearean literature, get lost back there. You think it means this when it means that, and so on and so forth. That's where the wisdom of the Creator come in.
Yes, it does. I mean, you know, it's just, you know, the whole, you know, the whole book of Enoch is just off the chain. I mean, I don't even want to bring Enoch into this, because Enoch is so off the chain. Look, the man got a chance to go see. and got a chance to come back.
That brother saw some stuff on his travel, too, didn't he, sister?
And he let him come back and tell it. So Daniel sealed up the books for such a time, and it disturbed poor Daniel to the point where he said, I was sick for days. I couldn't even get up out of my bed. I was just sick.
Daniel even talks about seeing clouds of heaven coming in a night vision. What were these clouds?
Oh, yes, sir. Let me see that.
I looked and behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Came with the clouds of heaven. What are these clouds? It's all over the book. You got to know what is being meant and what's being implemented there, and what is being interpreted and meant. What is the writer telling you? That's where it comes to the spirit of the Creator right now, to break those things down for us.
And that's Daniel chapter,
our overstanding. Go ahead, sister.
That's Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. He said, I saw in a night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before me. That is crucial. I mean, you know, that is real serious.
I know where you want to go with it, sister. I'm feeling. What in the world is Daniel talking about? What are these?
Daniel said, and I was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body in the visions. My head troubled me. He had a heart attack. He had a headache. He said, Lord, what is getting ready to go down? It's getting ready to get real serious around here. But the thing is I don't want to get off of Yah, and I don't want to get off of Wah, and I don't want to get off the council. So we're going to try to stay on topic, but we got so much to teach them in terms of what's coming next, prophecy, everything.
You're absolutely correct. It wasn't meant for us to know these things until this dispensation of time. This is your barometer, your measurement to let you know that the kingdom of Yah is coming quickly.
It's coming.
And it won't delay too much longer. Because Daniel said that these things would transpire in our day and time. He told us that knowledge, something we have been in lack of. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Knowledge.
But the Creator goes on to tell us, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. So let's not turn our ears and eyes aside from knowledge, brothers and sisters. That's all we're saying. We're not saying believe nothing. Nobody, I don't want to tell nobody believe nothing anybody has to say. Everybody got to seek the Creator for himself. Even Ezekiel chapter 14 tells you that you can but deliver your own soul. You can't save nobody else. Only somebody you can save is you.
That's true.
So that's what we need to be doing. Praise the Most High, Yah.
Hallelujah. So then we know
Hallelujah.
He has a body. We know he eats. We know he has feet. We know he has hair. He has a pigment color, his color. We know he talks, he eats, and he reasons with man. Now, we know he has an army. Oh, let me get that, because I want to make sure everybody understand that one. I'm going to get that one for y'all so we can clear that up about this whole vehicle stuff.
The armies of heaven.
and everybody has to understand, you know, you can discredit a whole lot of writings, but eventually if you keep on discrediting stuff, it ain't going to be nothing left to read.
Praise Yah.
It's not going to be nothing left to read. Everybody has something to discredit. Now, this is Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 13. Behold, he shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. Now, you say that the whirlwind is the jet propulsion from the vehicle.
Praise the Most High. As a whirlwind. See, even the way they move is swift. See, whirlwind is descriptive of many features, not just the jet propulsion, but even the movement of them. See, the way they ascend, the way they descend. Because a whirlwind, remember, it even hits suddenly sometime without warning.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And Isaiah chapter 66, verse 15, it says, yes. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and rebuke with the flames of fire. So that means there's going to be an invasion, right?
That's what it sounds like to me. But notice how Isaiah puts a different spin on whirlwind. In that case, whirlwind is used to what? To describe the swiftness of them. See?
Yes.
Boom, they just don't appear. They just don't come from out of nowhere. They're going to hit like a whirlwind without warning.
That's
but
true.
Is that saying he coming back here to make love and to spare everybody?
No.
What is
now, let me tell you what Josephus saw back in 70 A.D. And you can pull this up. It said, just pull up Chariots in the Clouds by Josephus.
Yes.
He says,
I've read it. Go ahead.
Beside these signs, a few days after the feast, on the 1 and 20th day of the month of Artemis, a certain prodigious and incredible phenomenon appeared. I suppose the account of it would seem to be a fable were it not related by those that saw it and were not the events that followed it of so considerable nature as to deserve such a signal. For before the sun was setting, now listen what Josephus said, chariots and troops of soldiers in their armor were seen running about among the clouds and the surrounding cities. Moreover, at the feast, which we call Pentecost, as the priests were going by night into the inner courts of the temple, as their custom was to perform the sacred ministrations, they said that in the first place they felt a quaking, heard a great noise, and afterwards heard a sound as of a great multitude saying, let us remove from him. A supernatural apparition was seen, too amazing to be believed. What I am now to relate, I would imagine, be dismissed as imaginary had it not been vouched for by the eyewitnesses, then followed by subsequent disasters that served to be just a signal. He said, for before the sunset, chariots were seen in the air over the whole country, and armed battalions speeding through the clouds and encircling the city. They saw those chariots and those armored men in the sky fighting with their natural eyes. That's critical.
Were they on something back then, Yaina?
No, they weren't on nothing. No, they was not on nothing, no. They said the temple was on fire. No, sir, they wasn't on nothing. And that's the part that we got to get people to understand. They was not on nothing. But you know what? People don't want to believe because they don't want to hear. Now, guess what? Let me say this. If we was talking about love and sex and marriage and cheating on each other, this phone line would be full.
You better know it.
It was.
Oh, man,
was
you'd have so many calls that you wouldn't be able to take them all.
I sure wouldn't. They'd be blocking and pushing one. But you know what I'm going to tell everybody? You all need to read Isaiah 66, the whole chapter, because in verse number 15, he said he's coming to kill those that are eating the mouse and swine flesh.
And the abomination. That covers it all, the shellfish, the crabs, all that stuff. It doesn't sound like to me that's going to be no so-called coming back here to set up no thousand-year millennial reign and peace on earth and all. It says he's coming with a sword. And it says the slain, the killed of y'all shall be what? Shall be many.
Whew. Ooh. It says it's going to 7 months to clean up all the dead bodies.
Mm-hmm. 7 months shall the children of Israel be burying the dead bodies in the valley of what? Hamongog. That's right. That's over there in Ezekiel. praise Yah. That's real. That is real.
Yes, it
is. We can think that's tampered with and fooled if we want to. Kid ourselves. There's some truth in that book, but it takes the creator to let you know who his, what his words are versus what was added and what he didn't say. It, that's where he comes into play. He will confirm to you what he said and what he didn't say. Praise Yah. When you have that kind of favor with the creator, he will let you know. I'm a living witness. And I'm not saying I'm all that because in his eyes I'm like any and everybody else. The Most High said that all have sinned. He said there's not one that does right. He says no, not one.
No, not one.
So all of us are in the same boat when it comes to him. Nobody trying to be bigger or more special than anybody else. That's another problem we have as Israel. See, we worry about the wrong thing. Let's focus on these things that we're talking about today. Because they're coming just as sure as you and I are talking, sister, conversing. You put your finger on it. It's going to happen. It's happening now.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's happening. Knowledge is increasing. People are hungry. They want to know what's going on. It's going to take a lot for them to swallow because it's something that they've never been taught. And it's really the fault of their leaders because this stuff ain't been hid. This is right here in black and white. These vehicles and stuff ain't been hid. I remember years ago when I was in Christianity and I was reading Ezekiel in Bible class, told the pastor, this sound like a vehicle to me. This don't sound like, is this talking about a spaceship? And he looked at me like I was crazy. So this stuff is not hid. This is right here.
Praise the Creator.
You know, but anybody want to know about the dead bodies, that's in Ezekiel chapter 39. It says, and after Gog has been destroyed, I will bury him and his army in Israel in Traveler's Valley east of the Dead Sea. That graveyard will be so large that it will block the way of anyone who tries to walk through the valley, which will be known as the Valley of God's Army. The Israelites will spend 7 months burying dead bodies and cleaning up their land. Everyone will help with the burial, and they will be honored for this on the day the brightness of my glory is seen. After those 7 months, the people will appoint a group of men to look for any dead bodies left unburied. This must be done for 7 months to make sure that the land is no longer unclean. Whenever they find a human bone, they will set a marker next to it. Then the grave diggers will bury it in the Valley of God's Army, near the town of God's Army. After that, the land will be pure again. He says, Ezekiel, son of man, I am going to hold a feast on Israel's mountain and offer sacrifices there. So invite all the birds and the wild animals to come from every direction to eat the meat of the sacrifice and drink the blood. The birds and the animals will feast on the body of the warriors and foreign rulers that I will sacrifice like sheep, goat, and bulls. I want the birds and the animals to eat until they are full and drink until they are drunk. They will come to my table and stuff themselves with the flesh of horses and warriors of every kind. I, the Lord God, or Yahweh, has spoken. He said, when I punish the nations of the earth, they will see the brightness of my glory. The people of Israel will know from then on that I am their God, their Elohim. Foreign nations will realize that the Israelites were forced to leave their own land because they sinned against me. I turned my back on my people and let the enemies attack and kill them. Their lives were wicked and corrupt, and they deserve to be punished. He said, now I will show mercy to the people of Israel and bring them back from the nations where they are living, that they are Jacob's descendants, so I will bless them and show that I am holy. They will live safely in their own land, but will be ashamed when they remember the evil ways and how they disgrace me. Foreign nations will watch as I take the Israelites from the enemy's land and bring them back home, and those nations will see that I am holy. He said, my people will realize that I, the Lord, their Elohim, sent them away as prisoners, and now will bring them back to their own land, and never again will I turn my back on my people, and my spirit will live in them, as I, Yahweh, have spoken.
You mean to tell me that's not real?
Listen.
Anybody got a problem with that? I don't.
I
pray that I be one of those that he bring back.
Who you telling?
I know
hello?
This is going to happen. This is going to happen. So
powerful. I mean utterly powerful. This is a supernatural deity that is going to cross dimensional barriers, come into government systems that are already running and set up, interrupt the flow of commerce, and take up people from the nations. That means all over the world that we are spending our dollars into, it's going to be a deficit in their financial empire.
That's right. We keep them going.
You
we
know what I'm saying? That means that we're going to walk away.
We are the largest
people.
Consumers on the planet, sister. The largest.
You better come on here.
Make everybody rich except ourselves.
And he's going to scoop us up and take us and put us back in the Middle East.
Praise the Most High. There's some people who say we're not going back. They say that this is the wilderness right here.
I don't know how they can come up with that one. I don't know how they can come up with that one.
So there's all kind of information out there. It's unbelievable what's going on out here. Like I tell everybody, I love all my brothers and sisters. We're going to have to seek the Creator. You're right. But that, some of the things in his words is just clear. Uncut. Everything you just read. I don't have one problem with one sentence, the sentence, not even a period, not even a comma. Not even a punctuation mark in everything you just read, because those are the words of the Creator. He said it's going to happen, and his words will not return unto him void. If he spoke it, he's going to do it, because he don't lie. Men lie, but the Creator doesn't lie.
And awesome. You know what, Brother? Yirmiyahu, it has nothing to do with Messianic or non-Messianic. These are the barriers that are in the two different sides within it. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's a separation between us, but then there's a separation between the separation.
That's right.
And
but
it's
you
like,
know what, Yaina? The Creator has a fix for that too. Remember over in Isaiah chapter 52 when he said, they shall see eye to eye when Yah bring back the captivity of his people.
Yeah.
Sure, we're going to disagree in captivity, but there's going to come a day when he's going to settle all these disputes. Praise Yah. They shall see eye to eye when Yah bring back the captivity of his people. We're going to be on one page and on one accord in that day. And that's the day I look forward to, my sister.
Me too.
Praise Yah.
It's something that we got to get, you know what I'm saying, we got to get our minds wrapped around to let our people know, you know, the only reason why we're doing this is because we love you. And, you know, we just land it out on the table. We're not trying to make anybody believe anything. It's just food for thought. Search it. Study it. Research it. We're going back to that wilderness. We're going to go back to that same wilderness.
And that's when the purge will occur.
And you know what? And the serious thing about that is too, you know, we got to be patient with people. You're right, because there's a lot of people that haven't woke up yet. They haven't awakened, and the Most High hasn't opened up their eyes. He knows that they're in there serving other gods of wood and of stone. He covered their eyes, but the same spirit that closed their eyes is the same spirit that's going to wake them up, and a nation is literally going to be born in a day.
Praise Yah, sister. Now, I would be lying to you if I tell you that I haven't been in that vernacular of serving, especially the deity of wood. You know? That
yes,
old
we all
was. They say.
Been
see,
there.
But he woke me up. He woke you up. He woke others up. He could have left us over there, too, but he had a reason to wake us up and open our eyes. And I praise him for it, sister. I told our Yah. Told our. Thank him for it. Told our Yah.
Yeah.
Told our robot. Thank you very much. Yah.
And you know why he did it, Brother Yarmiyahu? Because he's got to have these organized. Like we said earlier, he is the epitome of protocol. He is protocol. He's organized. Everything is set up. It is like it's supposed to be. There are rules, regulations. There's structure. It's structured the way he wants it. And he has people like you, me, Brother Adonia, all the people that have been on the show. They're listening. Even though they act like they're not listening, they're listening. And he's setting structure up so when these people wake up, it's not a free-for-all.
Praise Yah.
Somebody's got to be around to tell the story.
Praise the Most High. Hallelujah.
You know, because Exodus chapter 20 said, I'm going to bring you into the wilderness where I'm going to plead with you face to face.
As he did when?
I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you, saith Yah. He said, and I will cause you to pass under the rod and bring you into the bond of the covenant. He said, and I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that trespass against me, and I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter into the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am Yah.
Praise the Creator. Look at that. Praise the Most High, Yah. How much clearer can that be?
I don't know. That's Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 35.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Going on down through 38.
What does purge mean in that sense? It means to do what? To rid a nation of unworthy members.
That's right. That's what it says.
Harsh and cruel as that may seem, the Most High demands perfection. This remnant that he's going to bring back. Look at some of the blessings he said is going to come upon us. He said, these are the things that you shall do, O house of Israel. You won't even imagine evil against one another. Can you imagine living in a country of black people who are not behind your back, lying on you,
no.
backstabbing you, planning, digging a ditch for you to fall in? Could you imagine what it's going to be like? All of us are going to be on the same accord, not speaking evil, not lying to each other, but being what? On being in the perfection of Yah, because Yah is perfect. We got to be like him. But it's going to be him that's going to make those that he saved and preserved to be that way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This thing is, now, that's this thing third, is but you know when you people that come against the word and they try to tear the word down, those are the people that you know are on their way out. They're being lured out of the hole under the protection of the Most High. You know, this is all we have, and until he comes, I'm going to stand firm on it because it has proven itself to be true. Prophecies have come to pass and are yet coming to pass. Our story is found in this book. Our righteousness is in this book, and our Elohim is in this book. So, you know, we got to really be careful with how we go to attack this. And then what makes me really crazy is they'll attack the word and tell us the white man wrote this. We don't know who wrote this. We don't know who wrote the other stuff you read.
We can't discredit the Most High like that because he even said his word. Wherever Israel would be, his word would be there. That's what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30. The word is nigh thee, near thee, even in thy mouth. You speak fragments of ancient Hebrew every day. Y'all go, y'all. See, there go that, y'all. You go get it yourself. Ain't studying you. Ain't Hebrew word. It means nothing. See, what they call bad English, fragments of ancient Hebrew you speak it. That's why the heathen get intimidated and call it broken and bad English. Look over yonder. Yonder is strict Hebrew. It means over there. It means there. See, we don't know these things. Yah has blessed some of us to know, but we try to fight against those that he's blessed with this knowledge. That's not right. You know, I don't argue with nobody, sister. I'm not here to argue or cause no contention with anybody. Yah put me here in this dispensation of time to put my little bit in. As a man, as a woman, we can only know so much. We don't know it all, but that he has given us does have a part in this. Hallelujah.
No, don't stop. You can go ahead and take your time.
Oh, hallelujah, that that the Creator has blessed with us, we deal with it and impart it as he has given it to us. I'm not going to never try to tear another brother down, another sister down, just because they speak things or say things I never heard before. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to pray over it. I'm going to meditate over it. I'm going to take it to the Most High, you know. And if it be his will to open my eye on that particular subject matter, that's up to him. Because the Most High don't disclose everything to everybody. Deuteronomy chapter 29:29. The secret things belong to Yah. The things that are revealed to us and our children forever. See, he has some secrets that he don't even reveal to the sons of men. Look at that. Secret things. Hallelujah.
Listen at what Enoch says. He says, the treasure houses of snow, he said, is a dwelling place which flies in the upper atmosphere and over the world and in and out of the clouds. The terrible storehouses are dwelling of terror and dread. These dwellings are used for storing different things from the Most High. And Enoch saw these treasure houses. He said one was more dreadful than the other one. And he saw it.
Sister Yaina, he even asked Job the question about those houses. He said, "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the hail of the snow that I have reserved against the day of battle?" Look at that. So Job confirms the fact that there are storehouses and treasures of these elements and these things that the Most High do. He can bring, where do you think he get all the snow from? He has treasures of it. He can dump 20 million inches of snow on the planet if he want to and still won't run out. We have to understand who it is that we have to answer to, who this Creator is that love us above now, all people that are on the face of the earth to be his special and peculiar treasure unto himself. We should be honored to be this nation of children, people called Israel. Hallelujah.
But instead we scared. We have just, a number has just been done on us as a people. And we're afraid, and our thoughts are limited, and we don't want to, you know, we're afraid of losing. And it's like you can't be afraid of losing because you have it all of it right there. And the enemy going to rah-rah, he going to raise his ugly head, and he going to threaten, and he going to spit, and he going to huff and puff, and he might even seem like he going to blow the house down. But at the end of the day, if he do, I got a beautiful house for you around the corner. And if you could just stand and stand firm on what he believes and believe him, then you get, the sky is the limit.
Okay.
The sky is the limit. But we got, and what is terrible is the people that are willing to stand up, the other people get mad. They be like, well, who told you was in charge? I was like, ain't nobody said I was in charge at all, but I'm not scared.
Hey, it is what it is, because Jeremiah does of the fact that Yah said he was going to do a new thing in earth. And I know you read this, that a woman shall compass a man. Now, I encourage anybody to go look up that. That word compass has several meanings. Go look at it, and you're going to see whether women going to do things that the men couldn't do. Going to take it to levels that we couldn't do. And that's strange coming from a man now. No, I'm not egotistical. I'm realistic. If the word of the Creator says it, I subscribe to it. He said that he's going to do a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. And that's happening. Say we want to say, we're going to have to call this thing like it is. It is what it is.
And he's letting the girls come to the table. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We come to the table, and it's a beautiful thing because it has to be male-female because that's what Yah is. It has to be male-female. Let me take this. So I'm going to go here just for a minute between you and me. So everybody that's listening, you guys close your ears. We are Elohim. So that means that whoever your female counterpart is, she's out there. And once you connect with her, there's no stopping you. Do you understand that?
Ooh. You said something then.
Once you find her and you connect with her, it's no stopping you. Because then you guys become one. And I ain't talking about marriage. I ain't talking about sex. I ain't talking about none of that. I'm talking about in the power of the Most High.
Sister, that's the way he set it up. It can't work any other way. It was designed to work this way. Look at that. You're right. And I know mine is out there. I can feel her. Hadn't met her personally yet, but I met her in the spirit. I know she's out there.
Yeah, and when you do touch and agree, it's going, you're going to ignite the power of the Most High, because the whole Elohim theory is male and female. It's male and female. Now, I look at these evil camps, and these brothers is beautiful in their execution. They know that word backward and forward, but they got that girl sitting behind them, and it's like, don't you understand that unless she stands with you and y'all go through it together, it's not going to have the same effect? It's got to be male, female. Everything is male. Like you said the last time, it's X and Y. It's all through nature and everything. Everything is X and Y, right down to the plants.
Right. It wasn't no coincidence that male and female created he them. That's not a coincidence. That's a divine plan. That's even a carbon copy of what is amongst the Most High.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. How can you
and they don't
that?
Believe that there's female angels, and they don't believe that there are female messengers. They don't believe in none of that stuff. And it's like, you know what? We have been lied to so much about how this thing really goes. When the Most High really starts to open up your eyes, this thing is serious.
You're right. And see, Yaina, they put it before you, but in the form of Greek mythology, see?
Yes, they do. Yes.
Look at your Greek gods and goddesses. Look at this.
Yes, they
see,
do.
But they
yes,
gonna tell
yes.
a lie. They gonna tell you a lie to explain something that they know, like you said, the Elohim on Mount Zion. Look where the gods live, the Greek gods and goddesses on Mount Olympus. See? For
yes,
everything,
do.
They got a corrupted, carbon copy, corrupt, wicked, lying version of it.
Yes.
Where they copied the Greek gods and goddesses from. Don't let them fool you. I know, brothers,
no,
I know a lot of Morays have a problem with this type of teaching and these type of doctrines. Because they like they'll pull a rank on you. I've been in this thing for so many years, that don't mean nothing. You can be in error for 35, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years.
That's right. And when they start giving resumes, we was always taught when we was coming up and we was taking, they was teaching us how to become pastors and preachers. We was always taught when a pastor get up and he start giving his testimony or his resume, he don't study. So that's a clear indication that you don't study. So let's sit down with the word and open it up and study. But people want to give you their experiences opposed, and ain't nothing wrong with experiences, but you can't knock that word out. You can't get rid of that word. A lot of people are not on this show today because of that very thing right there. When you start coming against that word, because that's all we have. As corrupt as it is and as much as they tamper with it, that's all we have. Because the moment you get rid of that, ain't no more Israel.
The Most High. How could you be Israel without the words of the Most High? How can you even do that?
The story, you want ain't no more story. And the scripture tells us in Deuteronomy, he said, remember the days of old and tell it to your children. Well,
right.
How are we going to remember and tell them if it ain't no story?
And Jeremiah, the fourth chapter, tells us to what? They say that there's a third or fourth chapter that tells us to what? To follow the old path.
Yes,
where
hallelujah.
In the way. Of righteousness, the old path. In other words, go back to the old landmark.
Yes,
see, when the Creator speaks of things like that, he's speaking literally.
Yes.
The old path. Introducing ourselves to all this new stuff is what got us backwards. As you know what right now. So
come on,
let's do what it says. Let's reason together. Nobody trying to take over or dominate or trying to know everything. We're just bringing in what we've got. Think about how beautiful it's going to be when we bring it all together collectively. Gather thyself together.
When we see it all come together,
reality-wise. Nobody like you. Somebody like you and me, Yaina. Gather yourself together. Oh, nation not desired. Don't nobody like you. And me. We're hated everywhere. Simply because children of the Most High. They even hate him. The kings of the earth and their rulers take counsel not for against Yah and against his anointed. See, but the religious world would have you think that everybody's worshiping the same, quote, and I put this in quote, God. That is not true.
That's true. That is true.
They,
I used to tell my mom.
He's the true and living one. They hate him. He has enemies. But he know how to deal with his enemies, and he's going to take care of them real soon.
God is. He sure is. They know he's coming. And when you really understand it, you know, it's like, no, we got to tell you these things. You got to be able to understand what you're saying because we're on our way back to the land. We're on our way back to our homeland. We're on our way back to our own land. Now, we're going to make a pit stop in the wilderness, but we're on our way back to the Middle East.
Woof.
And that you can't even believe that too much because when you think about it, we've been so used to the things that we have here. Not saying that they don't have cars and they don't have houses in the Middle East and they don't have commerce and stores and all those things. Not saying that those things are not there, but he's not taking us there first. He's taking us to the wilderness first. Ain't no cars in the wilderness. Ain't no houses in the wilderness. I ain't never lived in the bushes.
Get that something.
You know, are we really ready for that? Do we really think we're ready for that? As much as we talk about it, are we really ready for the transition that we're getting ready to be put through?
Get that something. That's going to be an awesome experience.
Yes, it
and
is.
You
we
know
can't take our pension with
us. I'm going to be out there in the wilderness murmuring against him. That's why a lot of them not going in the land.
They ain't going in. They're going to do the same thing their forefathers did.
Praise y'all.
They're going to complain. All these bushes and bugs and all this stuff. Where we supposed to sleep? I had a bed back in Ohio.
America.
You got me all the way out here. Ain't no winter. The snakes and stuff is out here. What are we supposed to do?
Grandma,
a $1,000 house in America.
Where am I going to put my Cadillac?
Exactly. Where I'm going to put my car. Ain't going to be no Cadillac.
There you go, bro. Where my Mercedes?
Nothing.
But like you said, though, mainly the Cadillac, because we love them Cadillacs, you know.
All right, y'all, leave the lacks alone now. I drive a lack. Ain't nothing wrong with a lack now, but I'm just saying, I've never lived in the wilderness in the bushes. We're going to have to still wait for rain, and we're going to have to still wait for food. You think we ain't going to go through the same thing?
You should have been there when Hashaba went to Guyana. Man, they lived in the bush. I'm talking about women. Women lived in the bush. Everybody lived in the bush. You understand? It was a terrible thing.
I'm getting used to it, brother.
Huh?
Yeah, when you think about it,
we're getting used to it.
We don't think it through. You know, we say it, but are you really ready to think it through? Because he didn't say we was going back to Syria, and we was going to include ourselves in the customs of the Syrian people. He said, no, I'm going to take you the same way I took your forefathers. I'm going to meet you in the wilderness, and I'm going to plead with you face to face. And there is where it's all going to be settled at. Ain't nobody, I ain't never even been camping. Doggone, I don't know nothing about that. I don't. We have been conditioned, 400 years of conditioning, to live a certain way. Are we really ready to meet the Elohim of Israel?
Well, you know, he's going to prepare everybody for what's going to happen. You understand? We're not just going to pop up and just go. You understand? It's got to be a preparation time, you know. We first have to get our mindset together, and then things might start changing for us. But as it stands right now, you know, we ain't just going to pop up. We didn't got too used to this kind of living here. We're going to catch natural hell. But then again, it might be the fact that that's how we be weeded out. That's how it's going to weed out everybody, man. It's us have to go through some stuff, man. And those that are able to go through it is the ones that will be accepted in the kingdom of Yah.
Remember, a remnant. Go back to that key word, remnant.
That's what's going to happen. It's remnant. It ain't going to be, but it's not going to be everybody, man. Everybody's not going to even accept the understanding of the Almighty, period.
Yes. And guess what? We ain't talking about the other nations. We talking about Israel. It's going to be some folks in Israel going to be used to getting their social security check and their disability check. Right now, we can walk from the refrigerator to the microwave and heat up our food. Ain't going to be all that no more.
I don't think the post office deliver to the wilderness, do they?
There's going to be no need for none of it. You're going to have to walk away from whatever, and you have to ask yourself this question. And this is to Israel. We're not talking about to nobody but conscious Israel. If the word came down to, that in by January the 31st, we need to start preparing to leave, could you walk away from everything you got right now except for the clothes you got on your back and maybe a backpack with some food in it? Could you walk away like that and leave everything behind? Job, clothes, furniture, houses, family members that don't want to go? Could you do that? Because we're going to have to do that.
Well, we need to start preparing ourselves because the Almighty is getting ready to crash this system right here. You understand? The money that you got in your bank, you're going to get pennies on a dollar for. So, you know, we need to start preparing ourselves, man. I'm telling you. You understand?
You said a mouthful of then. You are so right. You are.
And this
right.
And this is realism. This is not a supposition or fantasy. You understand?
This is
real. They getting ready to crash this whole system. You understand? They talking about bringing in the euro. The euro is having problems. Hallelujah.
Yes. I agree with you 100%, brother. You are so right. They are getting ready to crash this monetary system, to launch this world under this thing called one world government, new world order, all this stuff. You're exactly right. Are we going to be ready? Praise God.
I don't think so.
Look here, let me one more thing. If you let them cut these food stamps off and these Social Security checks, man, we going to perish. Because ain't nobody that I know. I know a couple of churches got stuff all in their cellars and et cetera, man. But you know what? We as black folks, we've been eating real good. That little bit of stuff that they got put in the what's name, man, it'd be gone in no time, man, because we like to eat.
You ain't even lying. You ever lied.
If you think I'm lying, check it out. I mean, it's weak.
That gas moved through them from being empty. Woo-woo.
You understand? And see, here's another thing, too, is we can't even defend ourselves. We ain't got no weapons.
Hallelujah.
We ain't got none of that stuff. We have to totally trust on the Almighty. You understand?
That's our defense.
We have not been trusting on the Almighty. We don't even know how to do that.
Hallelujah. Yah's our defense. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our weapon of war. Until we overstand that.
Our thing is, what we need to be doing here is gathering ourselves together, putting together a food source, learning how to cultivate some land. While we can do that, see, we got an opportunity here to do some things. You understand? To set up some stuff. You understand? But if we keep lollygagging around and dragging our feet, man, that's what we gonna get back. The drag butt. You understand? We keep on peeing in the wind.
Hallelujah.
You know what? The Most High gonna feed us. Because guess what? He can fix it where all the stuff we do, when we think about it, okay, let's just say we buy 20 acres of land, and we have a food corp on that 20 acres of land. When you eating real food, that lasts long. It'll spoil before you know it. So let's say we got 20 acres of land, and we distribute it amongst a certain amount of families. Well, that's only going to meet your need for a amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
The Most High has fixed this thing where we are going to have to blindly and unequivocally trust in him. The same
All right.
way the children trusted in him to eat every day, he said to take no thought for what you're going to eat because I'm going to provide whatever you need. So we got to trust him that he's going to feed us because, like I said, when we get up out of here, we finally get up out of here. Yeah, it's going to be tight here for a minute, but when we finally get up out of here, it ain't going to be no refrigerators. It ain't going to be none
mm-hmm.
of that stuff.
That is correct.
And you live
and
like
who's
that.
To say that he won't rain manna on us even in this captivity? See? Who's to say that he won't feed us with what our ancestors ate? You're right about that. He's gonna bring us out of here. He's gonna provide. He's gonna provide. It's gonna be provision. I happen to believe him for that. Hallelujah.
From a supernatural standpoint, ain't gonna be no stoves to cook. Ain't no stoves in the wilderness, y'all. Matter of fact, ain't no toilets in the wilderness.
You know there ain't gonna be no toilets. So I suggest that you pile up all the toilet paper that you
need to get.
Get that toilet paper together and try to get you some water stored up, man, you understand? And like I said, man, the Almighty, you understand, is great. You understand? He's going to make it happen for the remnant of folks that he's going to choose to come up out of this space. You understand? He gonna make it happen for us. He fed us in the wilderness the last time. Manna dropped from heaven to sustain our people in the wilderness. You understand? He gonna make it happen for us, man. We got to have some kind of say so. I mean, not say so. We got to have some kind of will to do something for ourselves. You understand? Because we sit back. You understand? I don't believe that Almighty will take care of us if we don't have the will to do nothing for ourselves. Period.
Yeah, because guess what? They had to get up early in the morning to get that manna.
That is correct.
And had a certain amount of time to consume it because it wasn't that.
So
it was natural stuff. It didn't stay there always.
That is correct.
That's what I'm talking
right.
about. So we can buy fields and we can grow food as long as they let us. But even the food that we buy and we grow, we have a certain amount of time to eat it or it's going to go bad. And you know what
That's
I'm
right.
saying? Now, you can can food and you can keep a certain amount of food in your house. But guess what? Obama done passed a law, the no hoarding law, where you aren't allowed to have no more than 30 days supply of food in your house.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Well, see, here's the thing, man. You know, I cannot concern myself with what the people's gonna do. See, I deal with strictly with the Almighty. I know that He will take care of us. You understand? He will watch over us and protect us. He said that. I didn't say that. He said it. The Creator said that He's gonna do that. Now, if we depended on what they're gonna do, we're gonna worry ourselves to death.
Mm-hmm.
Wind up not focusing on us, not even being
right.
able to focus on what the Creator tell us to do or have us to do. You understand? We so worried about what they gonna do. They can't do nothing to us if we trust in Yah. Period.
Right.
That's true.
Not at all. Not one thing can they can't conjure up any kind of thing that will prevail against the Almighty. Not at all. And we
right.
got to understand, but where we missing the point here is that we was fashioned, the Almighty fashioned us from the earth, and He also made us in His likeness. So we are connected to the Almighty. You understand?
Right.
And that is significant. That means means more to us than anything that He could possibly put in the law. That we are connected to Him and that He will He will watch over us. That we are His people. He said that several times in the Scripture that He loves us. You understand, and that He will take care of us. Let me tell you something. The Almighty said He's gonna get the glory from the whole earth. You know how He's gonna get the glory? By bringing the people that He loved to the bottom and then bringing them back to the top. That's how He's gonna get the glory. Because other folks say that the Almighty must be with them. We starving like him. And just yesterday, man, that brother was sitting next to me, hungry as hell. Then now look at him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's right. I'm all
that's
for
right,
that.
Brother. I don't lose no sleep over what these people of this government do because I have that much faith in the Creator to know that He is going to sustain us.
That is
doing
correct.
It now. Every day, every night, every morning, at noon, you name it. The blessings of the Creator are still upon
yes.
us, despite the fact that we're in our degraded state right now. But
you know what? He knows that we are slow people, man. We got dyslexia or something. You understand? He knows that. You understand? He knows that we are slow to understand anything. That's
yeah.
You understand? And he still love blesses death.
See, that's why
yes, he do.
Like,
he ain't gonna wake us up. And
you look at
sheep.
Sheep are dumb, humble animals. Anybody can take advantage of a sheep. That's why we just like people. Sheep is a dumb, humble animal. And humble.
That is correct. You understand? We believe in everybody and everything. You understand what I'm saying? They tell us anything. We believe it, you understand, and wholeheartedly. You understand? And we put down we took up a no God, you understand? A cistern that don't even hold water for over the Almighty.
Broken sister.
And so I know he, you know, I know he understands that we crazy as hell. You know, we got dyslexia.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. So let me make an announcement. It's 30. Anybody have a question, comment, or concern? Please push 1. You can open up the table. We kind of went off topic today, but I think we covered some things in terms of his council and the meeting place on his mountain and all that good stuff. And we're going to put some more information to this. And just prepare your mind. Get your mind ready to say, if we were to leave next month, at the end of next month, because would you really be prepared to do that?
Yep.
Because you can't take no money with you because you ain't going to need no money.
It ain't going to happen.
He's going to provide.
It ain't going to be with nothing but toilet paper.
Then at that, brother, where you gonna dispose of it at?
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, don't put it down for me to step on it now.
No, we're gonna have to build little holes in the ground, man, after you do your number and bury it.
Gonna go back.
We're going to have to learn to do those things. You understand what I'm saying? We can't leave it out there, man, because we got animals. Animals follow that stuff, and then they'll come to your camp.
And the Most High going to be out there, too. He ain't going to step on it. He ain't going to be stepping on your stuff.
That's correct.
Crazy, y'all.
That is
correct.
You know
what I'm saying? You guys, think about how... think about how our lifestyle is going to change from that moment.
Praise God.
Yep. Well, I kind of, you know, I prepared myself, man, because I know, you understand, that, you know, and trust me, man, I'm doing all right. I'm eating every day. You understand? I got the same thing everybody else got. 1 or 2 TVs. You understand? I don't have no car, but I'm satisfied with that fact. You understand? So I know that, but I know that the Almighty is not. It's not going to continue. We gonna get down into the bare nothing. I know that. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but see, here's what the Almighty said. And through the mouth of Zephaniah, he said for us to gather ourselves, you understand, seek humility and righteousness so that we may be hidden in the day of our captivity. I mean, in the day of his great wrath. Now, you know what we have to do? We have to seek those things, man, because we're going to have to be righteous in our judgment, and we're going to have to understand everybody else's point of view, too. You understand? That's part of humility. You understand? So we're going to have to, you know, it's going to be tight. We're going to have to, we got to understand it's going to be tight. It ain't going to be like it is today, even. You understand? Where we got brothers and sisters that ain't never came up. You understand? They've been living in the ghetto for a long time, so they ain't going to miss none of that.
And you know what? I gave you all a scripture the last week about the Most High walking through the dung, and that's in Deuteronomy 23, verses 12 through 14, and he says, and you shall also have a place outside the camp, and go out there, and you shall have spade among your tools, and it shall be when you sit down outside, you shall dig with it and turn and shall turn to cover up your excrement. That means your poop. Since
yeah.
the Lord shall walk in the midst of your camp to deliver you and to defeat your enemies before you. Therefore, your camp must be holy. He must not see anything indecent among you, or he will turn away from you.
That is correct.
Yeah, they
that
gave
is
you
correct.
A tool, dig a hole in the ground, so when you do, the number
yeah.
two, you can cover it up because he walks through the camp. See, these are things that they're not teaching.
Yeah. Yep. And so, you know, the Almighty is going to be within our midst, man. And he's going to understand and show us the way that we should go. You understand? And guide us. You understand? And protect us. He's going to do that. You understand? So I don't have no worry. That's why I do not concern myself with what they guys, oh, they're going to do this and they're going to do that. Man, they can't do nothing. Not a thing. If we trust in the Almighty. Because the Almighty said that he was going to protect us. You understand? And I'm one person here that believes in toilet paper. Get some toilet paper, man. Everybody get toilet paper. Please.
I don't know if you're going to be able to take nothing with you, Brother Donia. I don't know if you're going to be able to.
Man, you can. Take what you can. If you can take some toilet paper, make sure you, if you can take anything, take some toilet paper.
Yeah, you're gonna have to, you know, yeah, you're gonna have to be a lot of things packed in that backpack so you'll have what you need. Because I mean, that's a whole totally different way of living that none of us have lived before, and we don't really think about that.
Yeah.
Everybody,
well, you know,
we're going to the wilderness. Ain't no houses in the wilderness that I know of that's got running water and toilet paper and all that stuff in there available to you.
Yeah, that is correct. It's not gonna happen like that. We're going to have to make some preparations for, you know, I mean, there's certain things that's just obvious, you understand, that we need. We need toilet paper for sure. We need to carry some water with us, even though we might not be able to carry as much water as we need, you understand, at least we can start out with some water. We need to get some of them pills that you put in water, you understand. My mother told me this a long time ago, is if you strain that water, you understand, get out all the impurities, and then you boil it, it's not going to be as much as you started out, but you'll be able to drink that water if you boil it.
Yeah, but the same way the Most High did for us in the wilderness, he's going to provide water. Water going to come through the rock like it did last time.
Okay.
And it's going to be the best tasting water we've ever tasted in our life. It's just getting people prepared to be able to experience that kind of experience, because we've been westernized. And we've been over here for so long that it's certain things that we have become accustomed to that in order to meet the Most High, he's going to bring us down to a level and require us to be able to exist at a level that we existed before. We're going back to the bare grass roots, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, see, you know, that's the weeding out process. You understand? That's
yeah.
going to be. That's going to be a process where they start weeding us out, you understand, those that can take it. You understand? Remember Coram, Nathan, and Abiram, you understand? They didn't just rise up that one time. They probably was bitching the whole time. You understand? They probably was complaining the whole time. You understand what I'm saying? Trying to drumming up people that'll get on their side. You understand? You understand? So they can rise up against Moses. You understand what I'm saying? And those were the people that got swallowed up. You understand? So it's gonna be a remnant of folks going back into the land, and it's gonna be a remnant of folks that know that if they go against the Almighty, he's gonna put us in that captivity like this captivity. That's the fear that we gotta have in the Almighty. That when we do something dumb, you understand what I'm saying? He's gonna chasten our butt, boy. You understand? We don't want the Almighty to get on our wrong. We don't want to get on the wrong side of the Almighty. You understand what I'm saying? We want to do what's right in his eyes. You understand? Other than that, man, you know, we just got to come together as a nation. and start trying to build something. You understand what I'm saying? We don't, you know, see, the Almighty going to give it to us. We might be skeptical on how we do this, but if we trust in him, he'll tell us and show us what we need to do.
Yes, he will. I got somebody on here, you all. Area code 770. Go ahead. You're on the air. Hello? 770. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Shalom aleichem, my brothers and sister. My name is Nakoya Yehuda. And I'm just been listening to y'all, and I'd like to thank the Almighty for my brothers and sisters. I am an Israelite who knows herself. And I love some of the things you're talking about, but I just like to tune in because sometimes Israel just doesn't know things that's going on. And I like to speak. There is a brother named David Yehuda. David Yisrael, that lived up in the bush, him and a brother named Joseph Ben Asher,
yeah.
In Guyana.
Hey.
And they do know things. Matter of fact, the brother, David Ben Yisrael, just moved to North Carolina to start a garden, to grow food. They have running water. They have lanterns, because you do have to know these things, you know. You don't just, you know that these things are going to happen, but as y'all sit and talk about these things, we have to get on the move. We have to start working at doing these things, you know, learning to can, learning to pack our backpack. And there's people out here that's doing these things and know how to do it. And I think that that's something you should ask the people that know these things to come forward. You know, matter of fact, I think the brother that I'm talking about is listening to the program right now.
All right.
And, you know, he have a wealth of knowledge.
That is correct.
And it would be wise for y'all to get in touch with the brother. You know, if you're really talking about getting ready for the wilderness. You got to know how to live for the wilderness. Believe me, you do.
Yeah.
You know, Almighty is true. Some of the things you say that he's there and he will be there for us, but we also have to know. Israel learns things. That's just like if you was to go get an army. Hey, you got to train to know how to fight and the Most High will be with you. So we have to train to know how to do some of these things too. And that's what I would like to introduce y'all to, you know, that there are people that's doing these things.
Tolai, that's my sister-in-law.
Oh, hello, sister. Oh, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sister. I was listening to you, and I enjoyed some of the verses and scriptures you brought up. But you did just bring up a things in Deuteronomy, and I put on my glasses to see this, but I didn't find that particular thing you were speaking about in Deuteronomy. But could you run that scripture on me again, please?
Ma'am, Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses
12 through 14. Oh, 12 through 13. Okay. I'll read that, you know, when I get off the phone. But
Nakoa is absolutely right. You understand? They got Joseph Ben Asher and David Yisrael. Them brothers was in the bush. They was out there in Guyana. They built up housing in Guyana. You understand? That's when Cohen Mikael and all of them people was in the bush. So they know what they're talking about when they talk about the bush. And there's certain things that the Almighty will reveal to us as we learn and commit ourselves to building our nation. You understand? They was out there and they'll know. If we ask them, they'll tell you, I'm sure.
Hallelujah. Well, we definitely want to hear from the brother. because if he's on the line, we would love to hear from you. We'd love to be able to get in contact with you and sit down so we can talk, because these are the things that we need to prepare our people for, because everybody holler the wilderness, we're going to the wilderness.
Yes.
They don't understand, ain't no refrigerators in the wilderness. Ain't none of that stuff out there. We're going back to a, he's taking back to a grassroots experience.
I wanted to leave that open for them to make the, you know, to come and try to speak, you know, you understand. I didn't want to commit them without them committing their own self, you understand. So I'll speak to Dawid and I'll speak to Yosef, you understand, and see if they would be willing to talk about how we can gather ourselves and put certain things together. I told them that I was on the radio station from time to time, and you know, I think Dawid, he comes on, you understand, him and Naima, you understand, they participate, but they have not spoken, you understand.
Well,
but,
I really appreciate them coming on and listening, and these are the things, like I said, not only with the supernatural do we have to prepare people, but for the natural. Because, like I said, I ain't never lived in the woods. Have you ever lived in the woods, Yamayahu? He might be gone. What about you, Brother Donnie? Have you ever been living in the woods before?
I was in the Army, so we had to live in the woods for a minute. I didn't go to Guyana with them brothers at all, you understand? But I think that was a good preparation for what's going to happen.
And
we got teachers.
I was a Boy Scout.
See, you talking about Boy Scout.
And that don't count. That don't count.
But I was in the Army, man, and I learned certain things, man. You know you got to cover up your excrement when you're out in the woods, period. You understand?
With a word, you to cover
up. So, I mean, and there's other little things, too, man. Like I said, that they got some pills or something like
that. You can't carry no toilet paper with you.
You can't carry no toilet paper with you, Brother Donnie.
Oh, yeah?
I'm just laughing with you. You can't carry no toilet paper. You learn to wash down and use leaves, dear.
Leaves, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to have a hard time with washing. No, I'm only kidding. I'm about to do whatever is necessary.
You just, that's just how serious it is.
Holy kids, I don't know.
Okay,
I don't know that we can't carry no toilet paper.
A rude awakening, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
He's going to push you to the edge to see if you really mean what you say you mean. Because some of us, especially us ladies, we don't even like bugs. I don't even know how they're going to make it.
Yep.
All right.
Biggest problem, I'm going
to
be snakes. That's my biggest problem.
Stuff.
I'm scared to death of snakes, man. You want to see me have a heart attack, you understand? You bring one of those snakes around. and see when they was in the wilderness, man, we was plagued with snakes at one time.
Yep.
You understand?
Well,
that
would
have gave me a heart
was,
attack,
and,
man.
Wait a minute,
I've been flipping around on that ground like a fish.
It's gonna be one of those situations where you know what you gonna want to stay, but you ain't gonna be able to stay because you gonna know what's gonna happen back here if you stay, and if you go, you don't know what to expect. But you gotta go because that's the word that say you gotta go. And you talk about millions and billions of people in the wilderness. That's gonna be off the chain.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be, you know, I mean, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm doing a lot of little joking and stuff like that, but I am definitely scared of snakes. But I know if anybody else could do it, I could do it too. That's how I've lived my life. If somebody else could do it, I know I can. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't have no problem. I'll have a problem, you understand, in trying to get accustomed, but I will get accustomed. Please trust me.
You just have to learn how to use your machete, Adonia.
Yeah. Man, snake never let you know that they around.
I know. Adon Yosef told me that you just have to have an eye for them.
That is correct. You got to have an eye for them. That is correct.
Yes. See, he told me about the time he was using the bathroom, and he looked up, and there was one right there by him, and he had to continue to use the bathroom and get his machete on the in the right hand and cut his head off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that, you know, you got to have that kind of, you know, the willingness. You got to have the willingness, period, and you'll
yeah.
be all right.
Yeah.
If you got the will, you understand, you will be all right. You understand? You know, and like you said, Yaina, they going to have problems with bugs, and women have problems with bugs anyway. You understand? But you understand? So, you know, but if you got the willingness and you'll be protected by the Almighty, because yeah, I know he ain't going to let us be out in no wilderness, man, and let us perish. Yes, he's not going to do that. He, you know, that's not it. That is, we are his people. You understand? The apple of his eye. You understand? He's going to bring us back on top. We're going to bring us into the kingdom of Yah.
But
now, I don't have no doubt about it. You understand? We just have to be willing to do it, willing to go through it.
But guess what?
He can call the bugs and snakes off if he wants to.
Say that again.
That's right. He can call the bugs and snakes off if he wants to.
Yeah.
Y'all leave him alone now.
I don't think that's going to be an issue. I don't think we're going to have to fear the animals as much as we're going to be exposed to having to trust in him. And a lot of people have never had to trust in him to the point where they don't know where they're next. You know what I'm saying? Some people trust in the fact that they have a job. Some people trust in the fact that they have money in the bank and they can go to the grocery store. Those things will be obsolete. They will not be there anymore. He's going to take us back through the same test that he took our forefathers through, and he's going to have millions of people in the wilderness waiting on him so that he will feed us, and he will provide for us, but he's going to provide when he wants to at his time, and all of the same people are either going to complain or they're going to stand and wait. And that's going to separate the men from the boys. It just is.
Yep. Yep, the Almighty is great now. He know what he's doing. We just don't. You understand? We don't know what he's doing, but he knows.
You know what I'm saying? No more refrigerators, people. There ain't going to be no more cars. There ain't going to be no more toilets. There ain't going to be none of that stuff. It's going to be a place where we're going to go to meet him. And once you pass the test of the wilderness, then you get to go into Jerusalem, into the area where those things will be provided.
Okay.
No ATM machines. No ATM machines.
No hot water. Ain't going to be no hot and cold water. Ain't going to be all that. Ain't going to be no soap where you can go to the store and buy a bar of soap and all that kind of stuff. He's bringing us back to a pure, taking us back to the way we started.
I mean, it's going to be total funky out there, ain't it? No soap?
Woo! I mean, think about it.
That is correct. That is correct.
I mean, unless somebody know how to make soap, it ain't going to be no soap.
Well, we got some sisters that I'm sure that know how to make soap and canned goods and everything. So it's going to be all right. Trust me, the Almighty ain't going to, you know, it sounds like it's going to be a big ordeal, but it ain't going to be all of that, man. If we trust in Yah, man, you understand, you know, and do what he say do, we'll survive, you understand?
I agree.
Ones, just like you said, it's the ones that say, man, where's the toilet paper? Where am I going to park my Cadillac, you understand? I ain't used to sleeping on the ground. You understand? Those are the ones, man, that's going to be complaining. You understand? Remember now, Kohlrab, Nathan, and the Byron, they didn't just have one complaint. Man, they complained the whole trip, man. I know Moses was sick of them.
I know he was. Like, no. And the ground opened up another portal and swallowed their behinds up in there. So I think that's we need to do, too, is hook up with these people that can kind of teach us, you know, because the scriptures say, though, he's going to make a water flow in the desert and apple trees and stuff going to grow while we're there. So it's going to be a resort. We're just going to have to get used to to living a certain way that what we're not being used to living in. So it ain't going to be a desert where we just going to be in the darkness, and it ain't going to be like that, but it ain't going to be no refrigerators either.
That is correct.
Praise God. He's going to sustain us.
And then when the next day comes, he's going to provide food for you to eat, and you're going to trust in him day by day like we're supposed to in the first place.
That is correct. You know, we're supposed to cultivate that land and have them feasts, you understand, so the sweet savor will go up to the Almighty's nostril. And that's what he loved. He loved the sweets. You understand? You know, all that old car exhaust and airplanes and all of that stuff in his domain. Oh, man. You understand? They really messed up then.
No polluted air. You're right.
Yeah, you understand? Ooh, you understand? He ain't too happy with that. And see, a lot of these things that he allowed go on is because he loves us. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Remember those kings that was, a lot of those, of the first king, you understand? Saul, you understand? He only allowed Saul to be in place because we chose him.
Right.
You understand? Now, you know, he wasn't all that warm and fuzzy about that move because
right.
He was the king.
And he told Samuel that the people have rejected him from being king.
Okay.
This is the creator talking now. He said they have rejected me from being king.
You understand? So a lot of those things that because we wanted it is why he allowed that stuff to happen. You understand? But a car is not a necessity. An airplane, not a necessity.
Good point.
You understand? If it killed one person, it's definitely not a necessity. We just had a chain wreck in New York City. Killed four people, a maimed 68. You understand? That's not a necessity. But because of us, he allowed these things to happen. Trust me.
And then who knows? They may have some sort of
we love. Go ahead.
That's right. And when them spaceships come and we end up in the wilderness, they may have a whole nother system set up for us, and we're gonna be all right. So we just really don't know.
Hallelujah.
Well.
Say our eyes haven't seen it, our ears haven't heard it, and even entered into our heart the things that Yah has prepared for them that wait on Him.
That's correct.
So we know we're going to be intense, so we know that, because they was intense, but we'll survive. We'll figure out how to do that, too. And on that note, you guys, we're going to call it a day. It's 6 o'clock. I want to say thank you to everybody. You guys want to make some last remarks before we leave?
This is Adonia, man. I want everybody to understand that I love you. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And I pray that the Almighty will choose who He chooses, and that He make everything the way He wants it to be. You understand? Because if we continuously to choose, man, we'll be outdoors all the time. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Brother
Yermin Yahu? I'd like to just say Torah for everybody listening in today, and Torah Yah for this very wonderful platform. I've enjoyed it, and I'd like to just encourage everyone to keep their eyes on the prize. You know, keep your eye on toward your minds, your heart directed toward our homeland, Yerushalayim. Praise Most High Yah, because Yah is good.
Hallelujah.
And His mercy
endureth.
Hallelujah. Praise the Most High. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Next week, same time, same place, we're going to be dealing with the mountain of the Most High, because what we're doing now, let me tell y'all why we're doing this. We're doing this to prepare you, because when we go home, these are the things we're going to be in store for, and you got to get ready for these things. So we're going to deal with the mountain of the Most High and His counsel, and we want everybody to study up and pass the word around, so we can have a platform and start asking questions. The brothers who are a part of the that live in the wilderness and have that experience, please give them my email address. It is Yaena, Y-A-H-E-E-N-A, Yisrael, Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, @gmail.com. Tell them to email us because we need to put something together so we can at least start teaching our people, you know, certain things, even though the Most High going to provide. I mean, I believe he's going to provide, and everything we need is going to be there because everybody's not going to be able to be taught how to be able to survive in the wilderness. The apple trees going to grow, and all of the food we need is going to be there because we trusted in him to get there in the first place. So we want to say on that note, we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Brother Donald, you going to be here with me next week?
Of course I will.
All right, Brother Yami Yahoo, we got you here with us next week.
If my phone be on, I will be right here. I promise you.
I went down the hole to see where the mom was.
Well, we say shalom, shalom to everybody. And going back to our music, we're going to let this thing play out the way we do. Here we go. Same place. Don't forget, we're going to be talking about the mountain of the Most High and his divine counsel and the vehicles that he travels in. And we look forward. Invite your family, invite your friends, everybody that knows anybody that believes in that word. Give them the information. We'll be here next Sunday, same time, same place, the Yehuda Project. We'll see you soon. Shalom, shalom, everybody.